tell us this morning. And God, I pray, God, that we wouldn't misinterpret your word, but God, we would accurately break down your word. And God, we thank you, God, for wisdom. God, and we open our ears to what you have to say to us in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Okay, so we've been working our way through Ephesians, and we are, if it's your first time here, we are in, I don't know, like week seven or something, seven or eight, in the book of Ephesians, and we've been going verse by verse down in the book of Ephesians and kind of breaking this whole book down. It's been a great study just for me personally, just to go through and teach out of it. So if you've missed some, we do have a podcast that we put on our website. You can go to our website and go to the message tab, and you can listen to those online as well. The first part of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and a little bit of a review. The first part of Ephesians, the first three chapters, is about who you are in Christ. Who you are. We talked about the in Him scriptures, that who we are in Him, you know, in Christ. And we talked a lot about that. And through that. And then the second half of the book of Ephesians, starting with chapter 4, talks about now that you know who you are and that you've been redeemed and you've been seated with Christ in heavenly places and you've been given authority and and this is who you are, it's almost like Paul changes and uses the word therefore, right? So we learned in school that whenever the word therefore, you're supposed to see what that word therefore is. Therefore, right, there you go. So what is that word therefore? So therefore, since who you are in Christ, who you've been made in Christ, in the first three chapters of Ephesians, now Paul says, therefore, it should affect the way you live. The fact that you've been risen with Christ and seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers, therefore, it should change the way you live. And we talked last week, and one of those areas last week that we talked about is that, see that in verse 15 of chapter 5, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time for the days of evil, because the days are evil. And we talked about the importance of walking wisely in our culture and being awake. He says, awake, O sleeper, right? Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We as believers, because of all the stuff that goes on in our culture, all this stuff that pushes against the things of God, that pushes against us as the people of God, he says, walk awake, be awake. Wake up, church, is what he's saying, right? Walk awake, look aware. We talked about the word, he says, see that you walk. That word see in the Greek actually means to look or be aware, to take notice. So last week we talked about watching the way you walk, and we talked about attention stealers last week, that there's our culture with, you know, I made the comment about like gas pump TV, right? Now we can't even go to our gas pumps without some advertisement or things being pumped at us, and we're just like, we're stuck to screens, right? We're stuck to ads. I was talking about how me and my wife walked into Kroger the other day, and there was this latte. There's a big, beautiful, like, display and like the perfectly made latte. They're on that, you know. They never look like that, by the way. So it was perfectly latte, and it was a hazelnut latte. I don't even like hazelnut, right? But it was a hazelnut, and all of a sudden, like, through the whole store, I told y'all, I go, I want some coffee. Like, the whole time, we're in Kroger going, I want some coffee. I was like, Julie, are we going to get coffee now or after we start? And we're going, Julie goes, we're going to get after. I said, okay, we'll get after. I can't wait to have coffee. But it was burned into my brain. And then, like, I remember, like, halfway through our shop, I was like, wait a minute. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm getting older. If I drink coffee at 4 o'clock, I won't sleep. That's just how my body's, like, I'm like, and then I was like, I've been duped. I've been tricked by this goofy thing that's attention grabbers, right? Attention stealers. And there's always things in our lives that are trying to steal our attention off of God and off of the things of God because we live in our culture that we live in, it is all about making the money. So people are always trying to steal your attention to, this is the most important thing that you can, that latte looked great. And it was hazelnut. I hate hazelnut. And it's amazing how that affects you. I'm telling you, you're affected by our culture more than you would ever like to believe. And so we need to be, well, that's why he says, wake up, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time for the days of evil. And then he goes on and says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. What do you do? How do you keep your mind on the things of God? How do you keep from the attention stealers to get you? Man, make it a practice wherever you go. Make those moments with God. We talked about those micro moments we called them last week. Those moments with God that are just maybe like whenever your, I called it when your day shifts. When your day shifts, you drive home, and before you just shut the car off and get off, before your neighbors see you and they come talk to you or whatever. not this neighbor. But before anything else happens, take a moment before you get out of your car. God, I thank you, God. I'm about to walk into my house, God. I pray you give me grace. I pray you help me be the father that you called me to be. I pray that you'd help me to be the husband that you called me to be. God, I give you this moment and I give you this time. I take a break. I take a micro moment. And God, I honor you and I receive, God, your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Done. Back in the house. What does that do? It resets you. It keeps your attention on the things of God. When your moment shifts, like when you step away from your desk to go take care of an errand, or you go take care of, you go to the bathroom, you come back and you sit back at your desk. God, I thank you, God, for this moment. God, I thank you, God, for this next moment of my life. God, I just want to honor you. I take a moment and honor you. It's those micro moments, and it will help you. See, we think prayer is like we have to, you got to pray for like an hour. But I'm telling you, take those micro moment practices and pray during the day. Amen. And it'll help you. It'll help you. It'll help you. And so we talked about the attention stealers. And so we talked about live being in fellowship with God. Continue. All right? So here we go with this next part of chapter, Ephesians chapter 5. Hold on. This could get dicey, because here we go. Yes, it's the husbands and wives and children and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Aren't you so glad you came to church this morning? Here we go. It's going to be good, I'm telling you. I feel like God's given me some really good insight. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read a good, and people are leaving already. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm just kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. Lock the doors when you leave, okay? So. Okay. Therefore, do not be unwise. We'll start with verse 17. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dispensation, whatever that word is, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go. Submitting to verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife also loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of flesh and his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as himself, and let the wives see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And you, masters, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. All right, you ready? Here we go. And a hush came over the crowd. The word submit. God, I hate that word. Amen?
Amen.
Honesty in here, I like it. The word submit. Our culture hates this word. We a lot hate this word, submission. Submit, right? How many times, if you've been in church long enough and you've heard people preach and you've heard people speak and you've heard people quote these scriptures, how many times in the past have we heard these scriptures misused and even abused? Why is that? The truth is, we love rules. We do. We love rules. You say, no, we don't. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Because you know what? One of the reasons is our fallen nature, we want to find blame and fault. And rules do that for us. Rules give us ability to find blame and fault in whatever circumstance, in whatever situation that thing is. Rules do. You know, if you wouldn't have been going so fast around that corner, you wouldn't have crashed. If you would have just changed your oil, you wouldn't have had your car break down. If you just wouldn't have done this, then that wouldn't have happened to you. We love rules. Because we get to blame people. We get to point our finger. But man, let me tell you something. You don't have to work in ministry. You don't have to work with people long enough to say, hey man, those rules and things that we like to so compartmentalize everything, man, they don't always work out so nice, clean as we like them to. Those rules don't always apply. And they don't look, man, they just don't. And so what we do is we take these principles that are from God, and I'll get into God's Word. We take these principles from God's Word, and we use it to beat people over the head with them. This is the truth. This is the truth. And let me tell you something. I'm a truth guy. Man, truth, that's my battle cry, brother. Truth. Truth, right? I want truth. There is no gray. It's truth. Right? What is truth? Jesus rose from the dead. It's either truth or fiction, right? I believe in truth, right? But the truth of the matter is that it's not always in real life scenarios, it's not always so cut and dry. As much as it irks me to say that, it's not. Because you deal with life. See what happens while what we teach about the truth in the home is true, and there's biblical order in the home, just as there's biblical order in every other place in our lives, right? We need to make sure that we have the same spirit of Jesus behind the truth that we speak. That's a very important point to all this whole thing of husbands and wives, of children and their parents, of we'll say employees and employers. We'll get into that in a minute. All truths are only right if we activate them in the manner of Jesus and in the idea and in the Jesus way, if you will. We've made mistakes in the past by dogmatic statements, and that we've used the Bible to beat people away from the true nature of God. We use Scripture as a weapon against the very people God loves. Because submit, woman. Respect me, right? Honor me, right? You don't love me as Christ loved the church, right? Come on. And we've done nothing but put condemnation on people. Let me say it like this. Jesus said it like this. He said it like this. Matthew chapter 23, verse 24. You should memorize the scripture. Jesus is talking about the law, right? And he's talking about all the little pieces of the law that people do, and they make sure they follow every little tiny bit of the law. And he says this in Matthew 23, 24, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Leave that up there. You strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. All right? Now, just to let you know, the reason why Jesus used this, so back in Jesus' day, and back in Jewish culture, what a lot of people would do, okay, so is one of the laws of the Torah is that you should not eat any creeping thing, right? A gnat follows in creeping things. How many of you think gnats are creeps, right? Okay, amen, amen. So gnats fall in line of those insects that are against the law to eat according to the Torah. And so what they would do is they would, you know, they drank wine or whatever they would drink, and they would take their, they would take a strainer because, you know, they didn't want it in nice bottles. It was all, a lot of it's open. And so what they would do is they would take the strainer and strain out a gnat because the gnats would fall into the drink, and they would strain out a gnat, right? And they would strain at that little gnat, and so they wouldn't go against the Torah. They were so particular about that little thing. And Jesus says we do the same thing with the law. We strain out a gnat, but then we swallow a camel. I wanted you to get this picture in your head of this camel. You know what's interesting about the camel? The camel is also not kosher. It's unclean according to the Torah, right? You're not supposed to eat camel according to the Torah, right? So what happens is, he says, man, you try so hard to fulfill all the law, and you end up with a camel. You end up swallowing a camel, right? What is he saying? You try so hard to follow every little nook and cranny, and you've missed the whole point of what God is trying to say. We look so hard at these scriptures, and we have used these scriptures to beat people and put people into bondage and put people into that we beat, and we miss the whole thing of what God is trying to say. Be careful. We can become we people, is that right? Who call ourselves free, be careful lest we fall into bondage against some of this stuff. And you're saying, some of you are going, I don't have to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I don't have to submit to my husband. That is not what I'm saying. I want to get into it. But do you understand? I don't want you to strain out a gnat in these scriptures and swallow and miss the whole point of what he's saying. So follow me close. Let's read that. Let's put that back up in verse, starting with verse 21 again. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Follow me close. Submitting to one another. Speaking of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let me just say this. These scriptures are connected. All of these scriptures. This scripture is, if you look just at the punctuation of it, this sentence, actually it goes on before then, but this sentence ends with submitting to one another in the fear of God. This scripture says, you want to say, don't be drunk with wine, right? But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What does wine do? If you drink too much wine, it causes you to change. It causes you to be somebody that you weren't usually, or actually to do things, you know, whatever. A lot of people did that last night with all their green beer last night. And we'll leave that alone. Everybody look forward. And so but it'll affect the way you live, right? In the same way, he says, be filled with the Spirit, and it's going to, watch this, it's going to affect the way you live. How is it going to affect the way you live? It's interesting that he puts that. That is not a misplacement of that scripture, by the way. Paul didn't say, oh yeah, I probably should say something about submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. He put that there on purpose. See, giving thanks always, and didn't it seem like a weird place? He says, whenever you fill yourself with the Spirit, you're going to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. How many of you ever heard that taught before? We skip right past that scripture, that submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. We skip right past it. But let me tell you, that portion of that scripture is the overarching viewpoint of the whole rest of what this is about, what Paul's about to get into. Submitting to one another. You know what that word submit actually means? That word submit actually means, and just stay with me. I feel it. I feel it. Oh, he's about to do some wrong doctrine. He's about to mess up everything. Just follow me. That word submit means to place yourself under. It means to place yourself under. Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. It means to place yourself under. When you submit to anything, you submit to your boss, you submit to your husband, you submit to whatever that thing, if you're a youth and you submit yourself to your parent, you are placing yourself under that person. But let me just say this, submitting to one another, placing yourself under people, is a principle of the entire New Testament. It's a principle of the entire New Testament. That you don't only look to your own needs, but you look to the needs of somebody else first. You consider other people more important than yourself. This is an idea that's throughout the New Testament. This is you placing yourself under. It says submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. This scripture has to pushes towards the idea of true what love really is for other people. Because you submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Well, how do you know that that's a continuation thought? I'm glad you asked. Because the very next scripture says this. Go to the next scripture. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Did you know that in the Greek, that word submit there? Careful, hear me out. That word submit is not in the original Greek, in that place right there. You know what it actually reads? How it actually reads? It says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, wives to your own husbands. That's the way it reads. Is it implied that wives submit to your own husbands? Absolutely. But understand, my point is, that's a continual thought. Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, wives to your own husbands. Does that make sense? You hear me? So, that submitting to your own husbands, should you, wives, it's the principle to submit to your own husbands. But understand that it is, actually, that word actually means subjecting, right? Subject yourselves. So, and then it continues, right? He says, wives, submit, and I'll get to it. Wives, submit to your own husbands. And then it goes down to husbands. So what he's doing is saying, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And then he goes, wives, husbands, children, employers, or employees, employers. This is the way it all works. This is the function of how it all works together, right? So then he says, husbands, how are you going to submitting to yourself to your wife? You know what you're going to do? You're going to love her as Christ loved the church. And you're going to give yourself for her. So much though, go to the husband's part. I'll pick on the husbands because I'm a guy. It's a lot safer. Therefore, a husband loves your own wives. Husbands, love your wives as also Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. There's that word that we hate so much, right? That word as. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Somebody says, why don't you get deep? Why don't you get deep, Dave? You need to teach deeper. Have you got this, guys? Have you got this down yet? I'm not teaching any deeper until we get this down, right? Come on, amen? Why do we need the deeper stuff when we can't even get...
You got it.
Okay, thank you. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved it. Go to the next scripture. Watch this. That he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing... Actually, the word is actually bathing of the water by the word. That he might present her to himself, the glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but she should be holy without blemish. Stay there, right there. Do you know what that tells us? Husbands? Husbands? Our wives should look better after they've been around us because of what we've spoken into their lives. How we have treated them. What is our job? To love as Christ loved the church. How does the love of God affect us? How does the effect of Jesus' love love us? Right? We're supposed to give life to our spouse. We're supposed to give life to them. Right? We're supposed to be people who honor people with who we are. Right? Honor your wife. And let me tell you something. You don't do that, guys, unless you put yourself under your wife. My job, listen, my job as a husband is to help make my wife everything that God's created her to be. Part of my job, yes, and vice versa. I'll let you talk in a minute. No, seriously. No, that wasn't a joke. She was already going to say something. No, I'll let you talk in a minute. No, submit, woman. Oh, man. Y'all who know us know that ain't true. But listen, seriously, my job is to encourage her, build her up, right? How can I bless my wife, right? It is not my job to teach her to submit. That is not my job. Ladies and gentlemen, there are scriptures in the Bible. I'm going to tell you this from, no preacher's ever told you this. I give you permission not to read portions of the scripture. Portions of the scripture are not for you. Wives, when it says husbands, you can skip all the way down till it says children. When it opens up and says wives, guys, I give you full permission to skip all the stuff that's about to be after that. Because that's not written to you. That's written to the wives. Husbands, your job is to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Regardless. Wives, submit to your husbands. See to it, actually goes in the end, see to it that you respect them. But do it, understand it is not you, them. Right? Everywhere the gospel's ever gone, look at it historically. Whenever the gospel goes out, it empowers women. It teaches women not to be abused, right? It teaches women not to be taken care of, to be honored, right? In cultures where the women are dishonored and the women are nothing but for whatever purposes. Everywhere the gospel goes, it empowers women. We should be about empowering women, right? As godly men. Boy, we're losing that in our culture, guys. To hold women up and esteem them. And let me tell you, it makes it so much easier for the woman to submit or to subject or to go under when the husband is loving them as Christ loved the church. Do you have anything you want to say about that? No?
Do you want me to go now or wait?
Okay, let's go on. Let me go on, and then you can come back. Because that was, no, I'm not ready. That's what that was. Because then I wasn't really going to go there. That's the thing. That's why I'm kind of painting myself into a thing, because I don't want to go there. Because listen, the truth is, I can't break down all this, the nuances of this. And let me back up. I can't break down all the nuances of this topic. I will be here for months teaching on husbands and wives, right? Because there are nuances that some of you are looking at me and you're going, you don't know my situation. And I agree. I don't know your situation. And there's grace for everybody. Right? And I can't go into every little nuance of every little situation, of every little thing. All I'm saying, there's principles of the Word of God that we put other people over us. And we honor other people ahead of us. Amen? We submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. If you want help in your marriage, we offer Right Now Media. And Right Now Media has tons of stuff on marriage. Great stuff. One of Julie and I go-to as parents is Focus on the Family. That's one of our places. We have trouble with our kids, focusonthefamily.com. It is great, great, great. They've been doing it forever. And there is no deal that you can come up with and go, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's ever seen. Oh, it's right there. James Dobson knew it all along. You know, like there's stuff already available. And I can't. And let me say, And what's happening right now is you got to be careful, is what I'm saying, we're using that old religious-y kind of idea to overarch everything of wives submit. I guess I got to submit to everything he's ever said. Not if it doesn't go against the word of God. How about that? Not if it says a husband, what, submit as unto the Lord. I mean, there's so many nuances of all of this stuff. And what we've done in the past is we just go, submit with a broad brush. And we've caused damage, more damage than good. But understand the principle behind what he's saying is that we honor other people above our own. Don't only look to your own needs, but look to the needs of others. What is that? Submitting to one another with the fear of the Lord. That my job is to honor, like, this is the person that I'm doing life with, right? This person right here. If Julie was standing there, this is the person that she's doing life with right here. Good or bad? This is who she's doing life with. Her job and my job is to honor God by the way I treat her. Honor God by the way I treat her. That's it. Amen? Then it goes in to children. Children, submit to your parents. Honor your parents. The first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you. And some of you, you look at it and you go, well, no wonder it's not going well with my kids because they're not submitted. It's the truth, right? Because they're not submitted to the parents, right? It's not going well. And we see it in our culture. But then what we do, and then it says, parents, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. See, it's all both ways. It's the kid submitting themselves, obeying their parents as unto the Lord, right? Again, it's as unto the Lord. Your child should be doing that, not because you beat them down, because your child should do it as unto the Lord, right? That's the way this is supposed to work. Now, if your child isn't serving God, what do you expect them to do? I mean, and be careful. And then it says, fathers, don't provoke them to wrath. Don't be so hard on them, because that's what we do as guys, right? Don't be so hard on them that we push them away. But love them right where they're at, right? But like I said, then there's all kind of nuances of different things about husbands. Then people say, well, I don't know why my son walked away from God. And then what we do is we go, it's because of that parent. You're going to do that to somebody? If you would have just parented them properly, if you would have just shown love to your kid, they wouldn't have fallen away. Really? Have you ever dealt with people? Yeah. We deal with people. Although we've been dealing with people for how long? Long time. 28 years. People make their choices. Kids make their choices. We seem good, godly people, and our kids walk away from God. And I can't explain it. I wish I could. Remember, we like rules. But see, what we've done is we've used this to crush people and bring condemnation. How would you like to be the father of that kid who walked away from God, and you and your arrogance, and you go, well, it's because you didn't love your kid. Are you serious? Already the grief. Can you imagine the grief of a parent already? And you're going to add that on top of them? Let me just say this. It's un-Christ-like. Yeah. It's not the love of God. Right? And then he goes on. It says employees. Well, it says, oh my gosh, it is later than ever been. Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay. So, real quick. Oh my goodness. Wow. See, I could teach this for months. You understand? But I want to make this clear. I want to make it clear. And how many of y'all give me like 5 more minutes? How many? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. Okay, sweet. I got another hour. This is awesome. Let me just say this real quick. When it talks about servants, and it talks about slaves and all that, just understand culturally, we're not talking about the same kind of slavery that we see in our history of our country. That's not the same kind. A lot of what was then And the Bible speaks against slavery. It speaks against purchasing people and selling people. It speaks on that in the Old Testament, right? So he talks about actually these are more like lifetime employees, right? Picture like maids or people in the house that serve the rich guy or whatever. And he says, seriously. And he says they're like lifetime employees, right? And so what they say is, not there. He says this. Look, servants, employees, listen. Submit, put yourself under your boss. Serve your boss, right? Work is unto, but don't just do it to him. He says, as a matter of fact, don't do it to him. Serve is unto the Lord. I remember this guy, he told me, he walked into his boss's office. He goes, I don't know why you're such a, he said, man, I just want to honor you for being such a good employee. He said, you're always just right there, and I just want to, you know, I think he gave him a raise or whatever. And he said, sir, with all due respect, he said, I don't work for you. He said, I work for God. I was like, wow, that's bold. He goes, I don't work for you, I work for God, and God's requirements of me are even higher than what you require of me. It's amazing. It's amazing how real favor works. You do your job as unto the Lord, and all of a sudden this favor comes. You know why? Because you're a good employee. You do your job as unto the Lord. Somebody's paying you to do something, you do it, right? And you submit. Man, oh my gosh. And I know bad bosses. I know bad bosses. Mike is terrible. No, not Mike's right there. I worked for a guy for 10 years, and he would cuss us like dogs. You know, wouldn't he? You were there. He would cuss us like dogs. And he would treat us like, at times, it was just like unbearable. Like, you'd want to walk out kind of bad. But, you know, it was one of those things where you like, either submit under that or leave. And I was making really good money. And I had to think about my family. I had to think about all this stuff. And is it my own pride? Watch it. Is it my own pride that's going to cause me to walk out because somebody, you know how you do it? You know who you are in Jesus. Does my boss have a criticism? I take that criticism. Yep, that was probably my bad. And all the other foul stuff that's coming out of his mouth towards me, you know what? Bing, gone. I don't receive it. You know why? Because I know who I am in Jesus. All this thing you spit out about me, they're lies. And if you want to, you can fire me. But I'm a really good employee. Amen? Amen? I don't have to worry about my boss hurt my feelings. Stop it. Who are you in Jesus? Amen. And then employees, employers. I'll look this way because one of my employers is in here. Employers, like, watch the way you treat, right? He says, don't go and just do threatening. Threaten. He says, because listen, they're your equal. The people who work for you, they're your equal. God doesn't see anybody better than you. We're all in the same position with Jesus. All of us. But the truth is, and the overarching thing, remember, the law of the New Testament, Jesus changed it all, right? The law of the New Testament is love. And Jesus says, if you love, you'll fulfill all the commandments. Listen, guys, husbands, wives, if you love, you'll fulfill those things. If you love. Meaning this, not just in word, but in deed. Putting yourself under somebody else. When I love my wife as Christ loved the church, I lift her up. I can do it. I can do it because also I know who I am in Jesus. I know who I am. And I don't need my self-worth padded by somebody else because I get my self-worth from God and God alone. So that gives me the ability to serve my wife and to love my wife. Amen? People say, God, you have such a good marriage. You just married your soulmate. This, both ways, it's been work. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes giving of yourselves. Amen? Do you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, I'll just say one thing.
Just say, yeah. Oh, and worship team, come on up. We'll close. Oh my gosh, we went way too long.
All right, I just want to say something. When I was younger, I had trust issues, probably like some of you in the room, where you felt grown up felt a little abandoned. Maybe you've been in an abusive relationship. And so I had some trust issues, and I was working for this lady, and actually she was so good to me. And she would really just was more like a kind of like a second mom and just showed me such love. But I had such trouble when she would come to like address anything in me, like correct me about the job I was, because I worked for her, in addition to us having a second mom relationship. So anytime she'd go to correct me and say something, I would just like bristle and just get like all defensive and just all this would rise up and oh my gosh. And I just heard this scripture that just said, why do you kick against the pricks? Which is a scripture that I can't remember who it was, if it was or kick against the goads. And I think it was, I don't know if it was Paul.
It was Jesus and Paul.
Was it? Okay.
Jesus talking.
And so I was like, Lord, what are you saying to me? And he began to expose this trust issue that I didn't even realize that I had. But I grew up with the idea of thinking that if I didn't take care of myself, nobody was going to take care of me. Right. And so I just had to, you just take care of what you need to take care of for yourself. And I took care of other people too, but I just made sure that I took care of myself because I didn't trust anyone else to take care of me. And so here she was, someone who really loved me and loved me indeed. I mean, she really took good care of me. But I had this huge issue. And one day the Lord said, Julie, if you do things my way and you follow my order, then I will take care of you. You may feel like you lose in the minute, but in the long run, I will never, ever let you lose. And it began to kind of loosen something inside my heart that God, I can trust you. I don't know if I can trust all these people around me, but it began to open something in my heart. And I realized that submission for me that, was exposed that time by my boss, but it revealed something in me that actually I was hardening my heart towards the Lord too. Like if you have issues with this kind of stuff, or you come from, some of you, we know each other's stories, and you come from abusive, whether it's pre-marriages or abusive homes growing up, and you've known for real abandonment and real difficult things, you will probably face some of these issues. We have to realize that we take those ideas and we put them on God, like we feel like maybe he won't take care of us, and we have a trouble submitting to him and trusting him in these areas of our life. And so this issue is such a deep thing, but I just want to encourage you today. Is this something that God brought healing in my life? And it's something I still have to walk out, but you can trust him. You can trust God that if you do it his way and you follow his principles, that God will take care of you and it'll pay for you if we do it his way.
Yeah. So that's good, Julie. That's good. Go ahead, guys. Let's all stand together. Go ahead. Just bow your heads, and let me just say, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, when we talk about these things, the immediate thing we can do is to go, I've done all the things that David said I'm supposed to do. I feel like that I may not be perfect, but I've done a lot of those things. And what it can happen, and this is where we mess up, is what can happen is we just put self-condemnation or we just reject the whole thing altogether. And so that's where we got to be careful that we don't strain at a gnat, swallow a whole camel, miss the whole thing. Listen, there is grace for you. And God's not mad at you. And you can't change the things of the past. You can't change people's own decisions. And And you can't beat yourself up because you were terrible at this, that, or the other, because that is not who you are in Jesus. But what we can do, and this is where it matters. And people who don't know God and they try to teach this stuff, this is where they mess up, because really, it's between you and God. And you have to come to a place where you honestly before God say, God, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? And that's where it matters. Not because of some broad brush preach somebody did. Not even some broad brush preach that I've done today. God, what would you have me do? God, what would you have me do? And be willing to say, God, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. If you're in an abusive relationship, and it's time, you know, physically abusive, and it's time to split, and that's what you feel like God's for your own safety, split, man. If it's whatever that is. But I would challenge you, seek out counsel. Because all these things are individual life circumstance stuff. Individual life circumstance things. Seek out counsel. If you need a good counselor, we have people that we work with, and I'll be glad to hook you up with them. They're awesome. They're great people. They've already been a help to marriages in this church already. And guys, listen, God is for you. He is your Abba Father, your Daddy God. He is a good God who loves you and wants to pull you into himself. Just listen to God. What would you have me do? Maybe it's not a husband and wife thing. Maybe it's an employee-employer circumstance. Maybe it's a father and child. Maybe it's a mother and child. Maybe it's you're living with your parents and you dealing with your parents. What would you have me do? God, I pray, God, that no one would leave this place with any wrong interpretation of what I've said this morning. And God, I pray, Father, that you would deal with us, speak to us. God, we give you permission to challenge us. We're not afraid of the challenge, God. We just want to do what you asked us to do. And God, we thank you, Father. God, help us as we go. Change gears a little bit. God, I thank you, Father, for the people that need to come here on Easter. God, I pray for those people. God, I pray, God, the people that are away from you. God, that need to come back to you. God, I pray that you would put those people in our paths. God, people who are already in our path, God, I pray you give us the courage and the boldness to speak to them, talk to them. In not a weird way, but God, in a loving way. God, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you don't abandon us, but God, you work right with us in our lives, and you walk with us in every situation. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. I love you. I'm so sorry.